Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. Hey, the election is behind us. The holidays are in front of us, so that's good news. The TV, hopefully, you know, the commercials will go away, all the politics and all that. Now, we recorded this episode in advance so we could get an amazing guest. We're talking health, we're talking medicine, we're talking money, we're talking our future. The implications for every generation are profound. And the question before us deals with truth. You know, Jesus said, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. That's our Bible verse for today, is the truth shall set us free. And you can find that Bible verse in John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, so we're going to talk about truth, societal reflection, values. We've gone through one of the most extraordinary periods of American history, and absolutely, we have made mistakes. Will we learn from them? I'm joined this morning by my co-host, the amazing patriot, Mike Carter. Mike is a fellow pirate and a friend of more than 30 years. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, good to be here this morning and excited about the show today.
Yeah, do you guess who we've got coming
on as a guest today? I did see the note. I saw the note. Dr. Naomi Wolf, who, by the way, endorsed Pirate Money, so let's get that one first.
Yeah.
Saw that this is a way for real economic liberty and economic freedom, and has her book out as well.
Yeah, Dr. Naomi Wolf wrote a surprising, readable, and important book which explains to a layperson just how dangerous CBDCs are and reveals innovative solutions. That's high praise from someone I would have thought was a political enemy, yeah, like 30 years ago.
You know, we were out yesterday, and you showed me a meme, or it was a baseball hat that said, looking forward to the day Orwell's fiction again.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, so we've got a classical liberal Democrat coming on the show, and I'm like, what world do we live in today? I mean, what's happening? But in this case, it's a really good thing.
Yeah, she was a Rhodes Scholar. I was a candidate for Rhodes Scholarship. I didn't make it. She got invited to Oxford. In fact, she's an Oxford-educated doctor, not a medical doctor. She's got a PhD. She worked with President Clinton and Vice President Gore. I would have worked against her. I was fighting, you know, for George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Who'd have thought, you know, with all that? I followed her for years.
I visited Oxford when I went to London. I got a sweatshirt. Does that count for anything?
Well, I visited Harvard, too. Somebody asked me, I was wearing my Harvard sweatshirt, and said, did you go to Harvard? I said, yes, to the bookstore to buy this sweatshirt. So I'm with you. All right, so I'm an admirer of her work, have been for years. I'm an admirer of Dr. Naomi Wolf's intellect, but maybe I wasn't that much in agreement with her. Then I saw her connect with another mutual friend, Steve Bannon, who wrote the foreword for her book, The Pfizer Papers. Together, they literally crowdsourced a research effort with more than 3,000 researchers looking into Pfizer papers. It's a huge book. It'll be interesting to get her perspective.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when the whole COVID controversy vaccine thing was going on. This is the reports that were, 75? We weren't going to be allowed to see any of them for 75 years.
Yeah, no, the court order for 75 years. They released them early. It was a guy named Siri. He said, hey, Siri, get us the truth on the Pfizer papers. You know, she's an extraordinary woman, from a liberal darling and feminist icon to someone who endorsed President Trump just days before the recent election, and on Steve Bannon's war room, no less, right after he was let go from prison. Why would a Jewish-born, Oxford-educated PhD from San Francisco, a world-famous feminist, endorse Hitler, right? This certainly speaks to the realignment of politics that we're facing. You sent me that article. You've got that article there that you sent me?
Yeah. And this is her husband. I've not met him yet, but it's official. My wife, Naomi Wolf, former campaign advisor to Al Gore, former lifelong Democrat until 2021, the former symbol of the so-called third wave feminist movement, former darling of the left, now current gun owner, current spouse to a disabled veteran, Pfizer's HHS nightmare, and possibly the unintended cause of Maddow's future aneurysm, and nonfiction author with 8 books as New York Times bestsellers, who is looking especially beautiful tonight, like she does every day and night.
That's from her husband.
Has,
right?
Wait for it, officially endorsed real Donald Trump. Now, this was prior to the election, but I can imagine what that relationship is like if you have two kind of political ideologies, and then you all of a sudden see this thing happen.
Yeah, no, she's a beautiful woman inside and out. She loves truth, And she is grown in her spiritual awakening in recent years. She's sharing things. But we're talking COVID, right? That's when she got deplatformed. That's when so many of us woke up to the nature of government and so forth. Is COVID a distant memory, or is it going to haunt us for decades? What do you think?
Unfortunately, it feels like, and I think this book will confirm it, it feels like it's going to haunt us for a long time with vaccines and everything that took place there.
I think it's a battle between the elites who think they know best for us, and they're going to hammer us with what's best. I mean, they look what they did in the democratic process of the Democrat Party, where they removed the sitting president from the candidacy and replaced him with a woman who had gotten absolutely no votes in the primary.
Yeah, I mean, who would have guessed that Dr. Naomi Wolf, who's been so active in all these political causes, deplatformed basically by the left.
And yet she endorsed Hitler. Right?
Yes.
I mean, the media is telling us, she was a media darling. I mean, every media outlet loved her for her feminist, her fresh views, her thoughts, and so forth. But not at any point did I think she was hyper-political. I always thought she was speaking from her heart what she truly believed. And that's what this book, the Pfizer Papers, I mean, have you flipped through this?
I did.
Take a look.
I was slightly intimidated when I heard it was like thousands of pages of documents written by doctors, but as you go through it, I see tables, graphs, I see print that, you know what, I'm interested to learn more about what really happened and what the truth is behind this, because I'm afraid, like so many other things today, we're not seeing that truth.
Yeah, we had 3,250 people came together. Not one of them paid one dime. It was the first crowdsourced medical research project, I think, in history. It was the brainchild of Steve Bannon and Naomi Wolf.
Yeah.
You know, you would never put those two together in any political room. You'd think that, you know, they'd kill each other. They found that they have a lot in agreement. They believe in individual liberty, classical liberalism and conservatism rather than fascism and socialism. So it really is an amazing thing. But it's written by professionals. Analyze. There is no opinion in this book that I read at all. It seems to be all fact and analysis.
Yeah, it's kind of the Cliff's Notes version of this huge report that reveals some very concerning information, which I'm sure she'll talk about in this next segment.
Here. Yeah, no, I can't wait to get her perspective on that, because as you go through here and you think of all the medical issues that so many people are facing, everybody knows some. I know some people who struggled either with COVID or with the shot from COVID or with the treatment that we gave them. You know, many died, and many are dealing with debilitating illness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and part of that's long-term effects of COVID, potentially, but a good part of it is those that have taken the vaccine, where we're seeing that, I think that report, as I was just scanning through there, says that it actually helped spread COVID versus stop COVID, and they admitted that in the paper somewhere.
Yeah, I think we'll get into that with her, but I think what we've had her on the Economic War Room, one of the chief side effects of the COVID shot was getting COVID,
right?
Yes. Yes. Side effects. You know, and there's so much, you know, everybody told, you know, you have to take this. Everybody has to take this. And the question would be, why? Did they test it long enough like they normally test vaccines? Is it a traditional vaccine, or is it completely different technology? Is it good for children who weren't getting COVID or weren't having bad outcomes when they got COVID? Is it necessary? Is it right for seniors? Is it right for you with your medical condition? I mean, you watch any pharmaceutical advertising, and they'll have a series of disclaimers. Did you catch the disclaimers on this?
No, but, you know, just the fact that, you know, we look to the FDA, we look to the government for truth, and the fact that when we get into that, we see that's not what happened. And it was big money and big government and big business working together, not for what's best for the citizens, but for personal interest. And that's concerning how often that seems to be happening over and over again today.
And it was filled with ego. We have, I am science, from Dr. Fauci. I am science, who tells us it could not have leaked from a lab. And yet, you know, the greatest, the intelligence agency of the planet think it probably did leak from a lab. We don't have that absolute, but they silenced anybody. And they silenced Dr. Naomi Wolf. She was a media darling, and they just cut her off at the knees. We're going to get her story, how she created the Pfizer papers, where it started, and what we need to do about it. We'll be back with Dr. Naomi Wolf right after the break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm pleased to invite a new friend to Pirate Money Radio, Dr. Naomi Wolf. Just some of the background that we share. I was born in 1961. She was born in 1962. I was born in a right-wing Cherokee home in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She was born in a Jewish home in San Francisco. We both went through the Rhodes Scholar process. I wasn't chosen, but she was, and she went to Oxford. We were both active, very active politically early in the years, but I was supporting George W. Bush and Dick Cheney 20-some years ago. She was active politically on the side of Bill Clinton and Al Gore, and yet we're now in a very similar space. Who would have ever imagined that Clinton and Cheney's would be on one side and Dr. Naomi Wolf and Kevin Freeman would be on the other side? Through an amazing series of events, and I don't think she's changed a bit. Classical liberal from the beginning, maintaining her integrity all the way through the process, standing up for what she believes. And yet, you know, I saw the tweet from her husband. She's endorsed Donald Trump in this last election. So this is an amazing story. Welcome, Naomi, to Pirate Money Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. And that was a fantastic summary of what the strange journey we've all been on.
It's amazing. When you see Dick Cheney coming out, and I think of this, I said the art of the deal with President Trump. Yes, he lost Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney. A very wealthy white man and a female congresswoman. But then he exchanged them for Elon Musk, a much wealthier white male, and for Tulsi Gabbard, a much more reasonable congresswoman. And then he got RFK Jr. thrown in. I mean, that is the art of the deal when Donald Trump can pull that off.
Well said. Yeah. And, you know, it's a smart way to signal to people like me who no longer see a home on the left that it's a big tent and that people from a range of views and backgrounds are welcome as we try to restore our republic, restore our national borders, things that should be almost nonpartisan.
Yeah, no, and I want to make America healthy again. And your book that's out, the Pfizer papers that you edited, but it's 3,250 researchers and Amy Kelly. You know, tell us a little background on how you created the Pfizer papers and then how you got on this journey to where you would have Steve Bannon write your foreword and you would debut it on his program.
Yeah, extraordinary. Well, the book came about because I was deplatformed in June of 2021 for an accurate tweet warning women of menstrual symptoms. The women were reporting menstrual symptoms upon receiving the mRNA injection. And I found out, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, that the people who did that to me were the people I'd voted for. It was the Biden-Harris White House putting pressure on big tech to lift out my accurate tweet and thus suppress the right of millions of women to know that there was a threat to their fertility and their health. Fast forward 2022, a successful lawsuit by attorney Aaron Seary against the FDA resulted in the court ordering the FDA to release 450,000 documents that were internal Pfizer documents. The FDA asked the court to keep them hidden for 75 years.
75 years.
Correct. After we're dead.
Unreal.
Right? You don't do that if you're fine with government transparency and what's in the papers. Steve Bannon, who was one of the few people who'd still have me on, who would have me on his show, he reached out to me actually for the first time after I'd been deplatformed. He and I were both concerned that these would be lost to history because they were so voluminous and so technical, people couldn't understand them. So he prompted me live on air to agree to call for experts to crowdsource and produce reports based on the Pfizer documents. And I did. And this resulted in 3,250 highly credentialed doctors and scientists from around the world working for no money, for free, for 2 years for the good of humanity to produce the 109 reports, 50 of which are in the book you just held up. And these unfortunately document the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history, what Pfizer did to us.
How in the world do you organize, pull together 3,250 people? You're not paying them. You've got Amy Kelly, who's got this organizational savant skills, apparently. How do you do that?
I mean, you just said it. You know, I don't have those skills, certainly. And before Amy Kelly came on board, it was chaos. We were getting thousands of emails. We didn't have any idea how to make something like this happen. And, you know, I mentioned when we last chatted about this that I really see the hand of divine providence in a lot of places right now. I mean, I've become a much more literal believer than I was 3 or 5 years ago, you know, before this process, because it really, it just keeps making me think of, you know, the children of Israel leaving Egypt. There's no way to explain how a group of slaves, you know, scattered, demoralized, managed to leave and prevail over one of the greatest powers on earth at that time, right? There's so many things that can't be explained that have happened, you know, David and Goliath, da-da-da. I mean, if you believe that
the founding of the American Republic, for that matter, you know, a handful of people against the greatest military power of its time. Yeah.
Totally. Exactly right. And I think there are just times in history when, you know, God doesn't give up on humans. And so there was this massive threat to human beings. And I can't really answer your question by saying, I know that we had help from the divine source, but I can't explain it otherwise, right? Amy Kelly appeared out of nowhere. She volunteered initially. I hired her. We didn't have the money to pay her. Donations came in to, you know, underwrite this project. And she has these metaphysically impossible to understand powers of organization. And she organized these thousands of people in all different time zones working for free into 6 working groups with committees that they're, you know, reviewing what they're producing, you know, multiple points of checking. And they produced headline after headline after headline linking to these primary source documents. And they've this handful of strangers working for no money brought down, you know, to pre-2016 levels of gross revenue, one of the most powerful and evil corporations in the world. And the FDA, a week after our book was published, asked the court to stop releasing the documents, right? 3 days after one of our reports was published that shows that the White House suppressed knowledge of the damage to babies and women, and actually babies who were dying in utero due to maternal exposure to the vaccine, Rochelle Walensky resigned. So we've had a massive impact. And I literally don't know how it happened, because we're just a handful of unpaid or grossly paid under market people.
Yeah, there are several important points there. One of them is what you published isn't, it's not opinion. It's all facts. It's all linked to original sources. And so the release of data and information should always be allowed. Second thing is, when you started this process, you weren't looking with any political agenda. You were noticing that women were having certain medical outcomes as a result of taking the vaccine, and you just brought that out. You didn't hammer anybody. You didn't try and make any political point out of it. What you did was you pointed out this was happening, and had they just listened and accepted it, not deplatformed you, there might be an entirely different set of circumstances here. We might have adjusted to this much earlier, but they didn't. They silenced you, as they did so many others. Our tweets and other things were shut down. But you've seen a change there. Elon Musk came and bought Twitter, turned it into X, and you're back on, and you're back on with a pretty nice following.
Yeah. Yeah, I have almost as many followers as CNN has audience, which is satisfying. You're right. I mean, it's particularly ironic because I've written 8 New York Times bestsellers, a number of them on women's sexual and reproductive health. This is my beat. And as you know, mentioned in another conversation, I was beloved for exactly this kind of championing of women's sexual and reproductive health. And, you know, my stance that they should know about things affecting their bodies, whether it was silicone breast implants. I broke the story of how damaging those were to women's health. I had a role in the FDA pulling those from the market. It's not the first time women have had bad outcomes from something rolled out by pharma as perfectly safe. Thalidomide, you know, Mirena's IUD that got pulled off the market. I mean, again and again, it's not news. You know, feminists used to know, the legacy media used to know that you don't take everything pharma says or everything government says at face value, right? Because there's a history of them not telling the truth. So it was particularly ironic and painful that I was being deplatformed, not just for calling attention to something that was part of the work I'd done for 40 years, But also, as a woman, every time I think about this, it makes me angry. Women weren't, you know, these were not MAGA women running, screaming, you know, up the steps of the Capitol or whatever, right? These were women of all backgrounds and races and ages giving eyewitness accounts of their own health symptoms, of their own bodies.
Without political agenda. There was no purpose to it. It wasn't trying to shame the Trump administration, which rushed through the vaccine, or the Biden administration, which mandated everybody take it. I mean, this was bipartisan problem. But the question is there bipartisan correction? And I don't believe there is. I believe one side is promoting liberty and the other side is promoting totalitarianism.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, say there's a Trump victory next week, and I don't.
Yeah, this is going to air after that, so we don't know is this going in, but that's okay. Yeah.
Right. Well, whatever happens or has happened, this shouldn't be a partisan issue. However, it's going to take citizens holding any new administration's feet to the fire to have the kind of reform of a broken pharma system and a broken healthcare system that, you know, we all inherit. I mean, an essay I wrote for a major news outlet that was spiked by that news outlet, but that I published on my Substack, is three things the next president can do to tackle big pharma. And right now, you know, people think the FDA keeps them safe, and it doesn't. I mean, anyone reading the Pfizer papers sees that bad science, junk science, fake science, criminal science, bad math, and horrible experimentation on human beings with disastrous side effects and deaths and sterilization got trotted right through the FDA. And actually, as I've documented elsewhere, China is manufacturing a lot of our pharmaceuticals. They manufactured the Pfizer injection to this day in an MOU with BioNTech. So there's a lot of reform to be done by the White House and Congress.
Can you imagine if there was a powerful leech industry in the times of George Washington and so forth, and we supply all the leeches, and you can't ever question leeching. It is the only medical response that we can provide for anything. And anybody who says anything else has got to be silenced, thrown in jail or whatever. I mean, we would advance no medicine at all. For medicine to advance, we have to have scientific inquiry. Scientific inquiry has to include the fact that we make mistakes and we've done something wrong. All right, we're going to need to take another break. But when we're talking about with Dr. Naomi Wolf, we're talking about the Pfizer papers. We're talking about your health, your future, totalitarianism, and the American way. How do we fix it? We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we're talking with Dr. Naomi Wolf, who is the editor of the Pfizer papers with a foreword by Stephen K. Bannon, just released from prison. Steve Bannon is a mutual friend, but I never would have imagined. I mean, I saw Naomi Wolf, you know, when I was, you know, much younger. I'm a little older than she is, but much younger. I saw her and I thought, well, she's on the opposite side. She was pro Clinton and I was pro Bush. Who would have imagined that the enemies that we're seeing were in what she supported and what I supported as well, enemies of liberty. And I had her as an interviewee on the Economic War Room. We talked about classic liberalism, and I want to share that with the American Family Radio and Pirate Money Radio audiences. Naomi, could you explain the difference between a classical liberal and what is called a liberal today?
Sure. I don't think the word liberal is even used much anymore because the left has become so insane and so extreme. But yes, a classical liberal is, it's how I still identify. And it means that people like you and me and Steve Bannon can have civilized conversations because we share root values, even if we don't share, even if we don't agree on what policies we should choose to address them. That's my best way of explaining that. And America used to be like that, right? Most people shared root values. Some people thought more government should be the solution. Some people thought more free markets should be the solution. But but those shared values were classical liberal values, I would say, even though conservatives have them. And what I mean by that is classical liberalism came out of the revolutions of 1848 in Europe, and these were revolutions against monarchical, tyrannical, authoritarian rule. So classical liberal believes in a parliament or a Congress, representational government, one person, one vote. Classical liberal believes in free speech above all, and certainly a constitution, a bill of rights in our country, but every Western nation state has a version of that, right? Even if they're not quite as good as ours, like the Charter of Rights in Canada. So that's paramount to a classical liberal. A classical liberal believes in individualism and the dignity and importance of the individual, doesn't believe in kind of merging the individual into a collective good, right? Even if there's short-term benefit to that. Classical liberal believes in the dignity of human beings and so will champion human rights and believes that human rights are the underpinning and liberty are the underpinning of the most advanced society. And by the way, classical liberal, I didn't mention this before, believes in the nation state and borders. I mean, the idea that championing borders and nationalism is some sort of weird MAGA invention is insane. I mean, civilized people who are classical liberals have understood that you can't have a citizenry unless you have a nation state with clear boundaries and a clear identifier of who is a citizen. So that's my summary. And yeah, the left right now doesn't look like much of that at all.
No, and the right, what was formerly the right, who would imagine, you know, Dick Cheney and all of the neocons that you would think are conservatives, they've gone, you know, warmongering and so forth on one side. The liberal, former liberals have gone crazy on the other side into totalitarianism and big government and control of people, and both denying free speech. And so this is the opportunity for people to come together who believe in the Constitution the way it was supposed to be. And part of that is a willingness to accept the truth. You know, facts are facts. Opinions, we can disagree. We can have different opinions. But we can't have different thoughts on this book because these are the facts straight from the data from Pfizer's own papers. I don't have anything against Pfizer, you know, other than the fact what's in this book. But, you know, I think American companies, if they can create good medicines, I think I'm all in favor of that. But when you're going to mandate force and cajole people and deplatform them when they disagree. So tell us some of the findings from the Pfizer papers that are just frightening to me.
Staggering. So number one, Pfizer knew a month into the rollout in November of 2020 that the vaccines didn't work to stop COVID. Their internal language is, quote, vaccine failure and, quote, failure of efficacy. In fact, the third most common side effect in the Pfizer papers is COVID. And this is really important because it means, Dr. Freeman, that everything you saw that unfolded after that, the mandates, the lost jobs, the firefighters who couldn't feed their families, the nurses whose careers ended, the children forced to be injected in order to play school sports, all of that was based on a lie. And Pfizer and the White House and the FDA knew that it was a lie.
The White House in particular, didn't they tell us, by the way, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on television. I didn't earn the doctorate that you earned. But didn't the White House tell us that we're going to have this winter of misery and death if you didn't take the vaccine?
Yes. Someday I want to bill President Biden for the money I lost by booking a family holiday in 2021 because I had to cancel it because he scared my whole family away by saying that I was going to like kill grandma. Yes, he did say that. It was the most tyrannical speech I've ever heard an American president give to his constituency. And it's like, who talks to Americans this way? No one talks to Americans this way. This is how Xi Jinping talks to, you know, his subjects, right? This is not how you speak to citizens for whom you work. He knew it was a lie, all right? They never studied, as Pfizer later admitted to European parliamentarians, they never even studied transmission. And there's no documentation of any study of transmission in Pfizer documents. But there is documentation that they knew the vaccine didn't just fail. In fact, Pfizer hid the reports of the deaths of eight
people who died, who were vaccinated, who died with COVID, so that they could falsely claim that you're more likely to be hospitalized and die if you're not vaccinated. If they had done the math correctly, they would have to report that you're more likely to be hospitalized and die if you're vaccinated, which is what the data now reveal.
You've got the leading scientists have looked at this. I mean, name some of the people that have been involved in the research and how it got pulled together.
Oh, so distinguished. I mean, Dr. Robert Chandler is one of our lead experts, and he's a sports medicine physician who has treated the Angels and the Lakers and many very famous sports teams. Dr. Chris Flowers is a radiologist who was at UC Berkeley and UCSF and a very distinguished radiologist. We have anesthesiologist from Australia named Dr. Jayanthi Kunadasan, who's now spoken twice to the Australian Parliament. We have biostatisticians, medical fraud investigators, pathologists, histopathologists.
And how much did you pay them to give these opinions that supported what you believe?
Wait, nothing.
Which is phenomenal. They put their careers at risk. They put their lives at risk, their reputations at risk. They did it. Why? Because they wanted to get the truth out. They believe in truth, just like you do, just like I do.
Yeah. Also, God bless retired people. A lot of them are retired, so they have nothing to lose.
Yeah. Well, they have reputation to lose.
Still to this day. Right. Well, quite. And a lot of them still to this day did the work anonymously. Not anonymously internally, but, you know, are not public about their involvement. But, you know, a lot of them are people of faith and didn't want to be on the wrong side of history. A lot of them are survivors or, you know, descendants of people who were genocided, and they see a medical genocide when the data are looking them in the face. And interestingly, a lot of them are just doctors, meaning that they couldn't stand by and not use their expertise to help heal and protect people. So it's a miracle.
Did you know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. before this? Did you have a relationship or know him at all? But because he has been warning about vaccines forever. Have you connected with him on this?
Yeah, so I know him as an acquaintance through the medical freedom movement. I respect him a lot. My husband and I both like him a lot and respect him so much. I confess I didn't care about vaccines before this project. I had no reason to get worked up about them. I didn't know for sure if what RFK Jr. and people like him were saying were true. But now that I've gone through this process, I will never trust the FDA again. And honestly, I will never trust allopathic medicine without many, many alternative opinions again, because I've seen that he's right in analyzing the corruption of the entire system.
Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw a statistic that said the healthiest people on the planet are those, and I took all my shots, my kids took all their shots up until COVID, except for the flu shot occasionally. But the healthiest people on the planet are those who've never taken vaccines. How can that be? This is such a massive industry.
I mean, maybe you just answered your own question, right? If there were three vaccines people of our generation took, and now there are 72, right? So can it really be that modern science has found 72 effective ways to deal with things that kids don't even, like, HPV, you know, teach your kid to practice safe sex or to not have intercourse until they're adults and able to practice safe sex. You don't have to worry about HPV, right? I mean, the things we're vaccinating children for, and then the adjuvants. I mean, I could go on about this forever, but you're putting, you know, heavy metals into people's bodies. You're injecting their bodies with things that we didn't evolve to have inside of us, yeah. Right? And now that I know how so many of these are just rushed through, and the emergency use authorization allows something that's not even proven safe and effective to be rushed through and put into people's arms, and I've seen the revolving door of, you know, pharma, FDA, and the billions, just look at COVID, right? Giant checks were written of our tax dollars to the pharma companies. They didn't even go into the marketplace to compete for people to see if they really made a difference. It's a massive scam, and our bodies are trafficked in it. And yeah. This book will open your eyes to how damaging that can be.
Neither of us are medical doctors. We're not giving any medical advice here. But what we are suggesting is that you get educated. And you get educated and you talk to your physician about what you're putting into your body. We've got the Pfizer papers here by Dr. Naomi Wolf. She's written a terrific book, and it covers a lot of the issues. It's incredible what we've got with the Pfizer papers. It's something you can put on your shelf, and when you go see the doctor, don't just automatically take their advice. Don't just automatically say, oh, you're the expert and I have to take it, because honestly, over the past 4 years, we've learned that the expert advice isn't always the best thing or the true thing. Naomi, where can people get a copy of the book, The Pfizer Papers?
Thank you. Go to Amazon is the best way to order it right now, and you can find us on dailyclout.io.
All right, we'll be right back after another break. We'll wrap up with Mike Carter. This has been a terrific. Thank you so much, Naomi Wolf.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your involvement.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we do want to help you align your values with your money. That's an important thing. And we can't do that without the help of some of our sponsors. There are really only three things you can do with your money. You can, other than perhaps you could throw it across a river or throw it out the window or buy lottery tickets, but the really three things: you give it, you spend it, or you invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile. It's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And we've got Mike Carter back with us for this segment. Hey, Mike, I'm just about to connect four emergency phone lines through Patriot Mobile, just in case there's an EMP. Put them in
emergency,
the EMP,
extra emergency lines.
Yeah, put them in an EMP protected bag, one for every family member, at the lowest rate plan I could find. But if something goes wrong here, you know, we'll be able to pull them out.
That sounds like a whole another segment we need to work on. I'm interested already.
So I'm going to show you. I mean, it's pretty cool. Satellite connectivity for an ordinary iPhone. I bought some used iPhones, at a fairly cheap price, and you can connect them for satellite. If something goes wrong, if the power grid goes down, if you have there, you know, people in the Appalachian Mountains never expected that the cell lines and cell towers would go down like they did. They didn't expect any.
Oh, I'm pretty sure if we were to ask the FCC or somebody that controls that stuff, they'd say it's all under control and it's all safe.
Yeah, it's all under control.
No problem. I got to tell you, after those last two segments, I'm a little concerned though, Kevin. I feel like I'm becoming a classical liberal. And again, I talked about, you know, I'm happy when Orwell becomes fiction again, but she was just kind of walking through what that means. Shared values, but not necessarily shared policies. Okay, I could get along with that. Some free markets, some through government. It was part of a group from 1848 against monarchical and tyrannical rule. Believes in free speech. Constitution is good. Individualism versus the collective good. They don't think that's so good. And champion for human rights. That's not what we're seeing today in the Democratic Party.
Absolutely not. But I'm gonna shock you with this. You know, one guest that we've had, a good friend of ours in the program, wrote a book, Why I'm a Classical Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. That was Dr. Everett Piper when he was president of Oklahoma Wesleyan.
I do remember that. All right, so I don't feel quite as bad now. He started to go that way as well. But wouldn't it be a great thing if we can come back together and say, hey, you know, we believe in free markets. We just have different policies of doing that, and that's working through it. Instead, you know, what I heard her also say is we've got people that believe in freedom and liberalism working against what those that believe in fascism and communism now.
Yeah,
Marxism.
Yeah, Dr. Naomi Wolf is a brilliant lady. I never realized that we were on the same side of the political spectrum in this. You know, most people talk about, you've got on the left, you've got socialism, and on the right, you've got fascism. The reality of it is you have individual liberty on one side and you have collectivism and totalitarianism on the other side. And those that believe in individual liberty, hey, we may have different policies to go about different things, but we believe in individual liberty. And that's very different from those who want to control every aspect of our lives. And then, you know, the Pfizer papers, you know, it's titled Pfizer's Crimes Against Humanity. You know, I don't want to put that label on it. What I want to say is these are the facts from their own papers analyzed by unpaid patriots that wanted to get the truth out, most of which were, you know, scientists in their own right, world famous.
Yeah, and you started the show today with the Bible verse, I forget what it was, but about truth, and the truth will set us free. And I thought about that at the time. I said, well, we didn't necessarily see truth as it related to this vaccine and how that all was handled. Are we seeing truth as it relates to some of the things we're seeing in our Federal Reserve, our currencies, and all those types of things out there? And is pirate money another version of what she's documented here? Is to, hey, we need to make sure we're prepared, we understand what truth is, and then we're looking at what's the best way to make sure we have those economic freedoms, economic liberty out there.
Yeah, that was John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The purpose is we should know the truth. We don't need to hide from the truth. As believers, we embrace the truth because the truth is Christ, really. You know, scientific truth or whatever, whatever kind of truth. And you're right, Naomi Wolf has written this, and she has her perspectives here on the Pfizer papers, but she also wrote a cover note for pirate money because she's very concerned about totalitarianism in the form of money and controlling her. She got deplatformed. Her speech got taken away from her, but she's worried that central bank digital currency would enable her speech in the form of money to be taken away. So she couldn't spend, you couldn't buy this book. This book is not banned and burned, but you're just not allowed to buy it because it's misinformation, malinformation. It's not. There's truth in this. It came straight from the Pfizer papers, but a tyrannical government could prevent you from even buying it.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't have economic freedom, we can't do anything. You know, when we were working the platform committee in Texas here, they had all their top legislative priorities. But what it came down to, and we made it in the top 10 up there, and as I told the legislators, you know, none of these other causes or legislation pieces are going to matter if you don't have economic freedom, don't have economic liberty. Because if we don't have that, we can't pay to do, if we believe in pro-life or we believe in fair elections and all that kind of stuff, if you lose that ability for economic liberty, we lose our ability to do everything. And that's why it's so important that we get truth out, not only as it relates to health, but economics and all the things that we're working on here with Economic War Room and Pirate Money Radio.
Yeah, and Naomi Wolf has dailyclout.io, and I've been a guest on her program, her podcast before. But you go to that. That's a source of information, and I'm just going to assume much of it is true information that you're not going to get most other places. So you can learn more about Naomi Wolf at dailyclout.io. So the point being, this is not just a single issue on the Pfizer papers. She wants to have truth across the board, and she's had me on the program. We've talked pirate money, right?
Yeah.
And she doesn't think central bank digital currencies are the solution. She believes in transactional gold and silver.
Yeah.
And in fact, they have capabilities to help you reach legislators and reach the people working with Daily Cloud.
Doing many things that kind of like we're doing here as well. She's trying to help facilitate legislation on the causes that she feels is important. And I'm just honored that that she recognizes pirate money and transactional gold and silver as one of those things that is important to her. Again, we all believe in free markets. There might be different ways of going about it, but I think we're all in agreement. We've seen this legislatively, and we're seeing it in all the states we're working right now, an idea that has bipartisan support for it. You know, Democrats and Republicans saying, hey, we like this idea.
And she's heavily involved in the political side of this as well. There's a section here called Top Trending Bills, where you can read more, learn more. You click in the Vaccine Carve-Out Act, Protecting Americans' Retirement, No WHO Pandemic Preparedness, Judges Acts of 2024 judicial understaffing, solid waste, recycled paper bags, you know, different political issues that you can get from dailyclout.io. And one of the issues that she has helped us with is transactional gold and silver. So I think we've got a great shot, by the way. We'll call on her to get her support. It's always helpful to have someone that's viewed as a classical liberal on your side, so it doesn't look like it, because we're bipartisan in this.
Yeah, I was at a store the other day, and I did my favorite little thing where James and my wife's getting probably tired of this. I was like, well, would you rather get paid in gold or silver? Because we can do that someday. And got into the conversation, and this is a person that was fascinated by it. So he earned himself a free book, and he flips through this. He goes, you weren't kidding. He goes, I'm just looking at the list of people that have endorsed this book. He goes, this is a big idea. You got some big people behind it. And it's an honor that Dr. Wolf is one of those. And we can say we got people from all sides of the spectrum that want to see this happen.
That's right. Men, women, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, physicians, former senators, activists. Really, I'm really pleased with all of the people that support it, because the idea is important. You know, I do the same thing. I walk in, you want to be paid in gold? And, you know, the last time I walked in, I said, would you rather be paid in gold? They'll say, I'll take the gold and I'll buy your coffee. Finally, the first person who did that. I was like, well, that gold is worth $27.50. Will I get change? Yeah, it was an ounce of gold. So, we're beginning to make an impact, and you're doing a great job with that. We've got to get the truth out. That's the point of Pirate Money Radio. We're here to get the truth out, and we do not sell gold or silver. We don't take gold and silver sponsors on the program. We're here just to help people find liberty, security, and values, right?
Absolutely, and it's an honor to be a part of it. It's an honor to see what God is doing. It's bigger than us. And Kevin, you've been just a fabulous thought leader and great at just the wisdom God's given you in terms of messaging of this book and this idea. This is just an honor to be a part of it. And I'm so excited to see how God is moving this forward. And we need everybody's help, though. We need you to, right now, if you're listening those of you listening, I'm talking to you right now as you're driving your car, whatever. Take this serious. Call your legislators. Get the book Pirate Money.
Get more information about Pirate Money book at piratemoneybook.com.
And now is the time, as these legislative sessions come up, to call your legislator, make sure legislators have it, and start working this thing, because we're working bills right now in all these different states, and they're asking all the right questions. But now is the time to get it done. So as we kick this thing off, first part of 2025, we keep that momentum rolling.
Yeah, and we want to work with great people like Dr. Naomi Wolf. And the reason is can you imagine, your money's not good if it's a central bank digital currency, because you haven't had your 17th booster of the vaccine. Well, she's standing up for our liberty there. We've got to stand up for liberty in terms of money and so many other areas. Look, if you've got questions about this, because people say, I can't afford gold, I'm barely making as it is. That's a legitimate question. I understand that. Well, you can send us your questions at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. That's afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Help us spread the word and help us build our audience. Share this episode with your friends and your family. People need to know what we're talking about. Pirate Money Radio, you can get it at piratemoneyradio.com, afr.net, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is an important message, both Naomi Wolf and ours. Till next week, this is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio.